Welcome back to Hour 2 of the Hollywood Casino Press Box, featuring Frank Cusimano and Martin Kilcoin on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
It's been a long time coming, but I know.
Maryville University sponsors our phone lines. Go to maryville.edu for more information about that terrific school in town and country. I think this one text kind of sums it up. If you could just talk to Martin into a few less rear view cameras, that should be enough to get the deal done.
All goes back to the rear view camera. Meanwhile, Frank's rolling around with a police badge. Parks wherever he wants. I thought of Frank on Sunday. I had lunch with my mom, not at the Gatesworth.
Where were you?
But at Lester's.
Oh, what time were you there Sunday?
It was about 1:30.
Oh, Dom and I were there at 11:30.
I did not leave.
His last meal.
With a box for Dom.
But very good. Did you have the lemon pepper garlic wings?
No, I'm trying.
What'd you have?
I had a
turkey
cob salad.
Oh, that's good. Yes.
But it's kind of a chopped
really
salad.
Good turkey, yeah.
You got turkey in there. You got the avocado. Very healthy.
Yes.
Then my mom had some toasted rav, and I had to sample a little of those.
How's the toasted rav there? Not
pretty
bad?
Strong. Yeah. I'm telling you, my mom needs a blog, because wherever we go, she orders toasted ravioli, and I said, is that your favorite dish? And she said, I just like to see how they all compare around town.
Does she have a favorite?
She might be on the food picks.
You know what? I would love to get her take. I think the Trattoria Marsala's toasted rav is really
and
strong.
Kind of oversized.
Yeah.
That's probably in the clubhouse right now.
Yeah.
But we're hanging at Lester's. We're sitting in the booth, and a woman walks by, and then she stops and said, I just got to tell you, those Thursdays are hilarious. The Thursday show is the best. And then she walks away. And my mom said, what was that about? I said, I have no idea, but I think it'd be weird if I chased her into the parking lot. Did she mean the slop on Friday, Strick on Wednesday?
On Thursday? We don't have
anything. There's nothing on TV Thursday, unless she's a big fan of Thursday Night Football. I have no idea. Or maybe then I started going, maybe she thinks I'm Charlie Brennan and it's Donnybrook. I'm like, what could it have been?
You know what? That's not out of the realm, because people just confuse you. Like,
I get a lot of Doug Vaughn.
I had a guy at a gas station about less than a year ago say, hey, Zip, what's going on?
They just loosely.
Yeah. Zip.
Did your mom drive to Lester's?
She did. She did her own driving to Lester's. That is correct. We met there. I was on my way.
Oh, I thought you
what a great
you.
Place, though.
Isn't no, it? And it was, and you just, I wasn't glued to the game at that time. It was the Ravens game, but it's on, and you can see
it. Yeah, that didn't
it.
Get I, interesting till late. That get, really didn't get that interesting,
no,
period.
No. But overall, Frank's argument, boy, the way it ended on Sunday on NBC, NBC always gets these great games. But Al Michaels is great, and when they walk in the building, you just have a feeling there'll be a controversial call, they'll have to debate. Al breaks it down like nobody's business.
Now, you're not a Bears fan, right? Are you okay?
I'm not. I don't hate the
Bears. Yeah, but you were rooting for – you didn't want that kid to suffer, did you?
So in the room, Dave Jobe, our longtime producer, Rich Gould, Zach Choate, the four of us are sitting there. And I said, make it or miss it. And Rich Gould goes, oh, he's going to make it. And Dave is like, I think he's going to make it. I said, I think he's going to miss it horribly. Zach, joining me in the negativity, said, oh, he's missing it.
The Bears had no faith in him.
But we all wanted him to make it.
Yeah.
I had no rooting interest for the Eagles. I don't care if they win or lose. Normally, if it's the Packers-Bears, I'd root for the Packers. And I heard Plowsy say, even as a Packers fan, he wanted the kid to make the kick. But I just had a feeling there was no way. And would you kick it, if you were him, do you finish when the timeout is called? If you know that timeout is, do you always follow through? Because those guys,
you kind of have to.
I guess you just got to get in a rhythm.
Yeah, especially if
they
you try to
make
stop.
It, and then
yeah.
They, and
oh
then
my
they miss
gosh.
It. They always make it on the timeout.
Well, it's just like to equate it to all of our situations. It's like if you're at the driving range and there's nobody around and you just have this great tempo and you're swinging well, everything's going straight, and then you get out there and there's people watching you and you're snap hooking and you're rushing. Yeah, that's what happened.
I don't know, and the camera's in his face. I mean, like on the sideline, like leading the drive, they're over there, and it's part of the business. But I got to tell you, if I'm a kicker, I would just say, hey, back it up a little bit. I'd pull the Alexander Steen and push the microphones. But he's over there by the net, and the NBC camera is literally like a foot away from him. He knows what it's coming.
Yeah.
You know, he knows what's coming. It is part of the theater. It's the reason they pay millions of dollars. But As that camera just kept cutting him, I was like, I just don't feel good about it. Especially
how about,
with his season.
Yeah, how about two is right afterwards, he gets into that prayer session where they all hold hands on the field. We used to see it at the Dome all the time. Boy, God bless his faith. I mean, that's unbelievable to go right to prayer.
When I heard some of his quote, first of all, they said he was waiting there to talk. He wasn't dodging the media, which you can in that situation. And that doesn't help a Bears fan that he was willing to talk. But he made a couple of quotes after talking for at length that said, hey, the sun will still come out tomorrow, something along those lines. And then people were just destroying. Are you kidding me? The sun will come out. What's he supposed to say?
Yeah, you're right.
You know, what can he say at that point? If I were him, I would be retweeting the video where the ball appears to be tipped.
See?
That's right.
It's not my fault.
That's getting a lot of play.
That didn't get any play last night, I don't think.
Not a
Did
lot.
You hear Al say it at all?
I don't think during the broadcast.
Yeah.
Al is unbelievable at 75, how quick he is, because he immediately said, because we all saw it hit the upright, and then he said, it also hit the crossbar. I'm like, no way. I thought it went in. I was like, there was an optical illusion at first. But if I'm that kicker, and there is video, it came out later. And a Philly reporter asked the Eagles player, and he said, yes, I got a piece of the ball. I just wonder, was he going to miss it horribly? Like, was it headed wide left, and the guy got a little piece of it and kind of redirected it?
All right, don't bury the lead here, though. How many phone calls do you think on Saturday nights?
Frank's like, what a game on NBC yesterday.
Yes.
Of course, I don't watch because IBEW tells me not to. I asked our desk, and they said they did have a sheet of paper ready for anybody working in the assignment desk explaining the situation. But they said it really wasn't that bad. And I think it's because
really?
I think it was because there was so much buildup. One of our producers said he got a call, and you get random calls all day. And the guy said, hey, I got a story idea for you. And the producer's like, oh, great. You know, pen and paper. He's like, it's a great story about corporate greed between two companies. And he's like, okay, I see where we're going here. But I'm trying to find out, and maybe Brian can find it. The Tribune Station in Seattle is a Fox affiliate.
Oh.
And if Charter's in Seattle, how could they not be? Because Paul Allen started Charter. And so I don't know who the main cable provider is in Seattle. But if it's Charter, I couldn't find anything online. I know for a fact the Tribune Station in Seattle is the Fox affiliate, and that means the Seahawks game on Saturday night. Perhaps Charter is not in Seattle, which would be weird because of Paul Allen. And by the way, the percentage I was told, it's 30%
in St. Louis.
Louis.
Wow. I wish this was a ratings week.
We've got time to sort this out. If you don't get to see the Rams, you'll be thanking us, right, St. Louis? All right, how about five for Frank? It's brought to you by Greenville University.
Time to tee up the hot topics. It's five for Frank. Brought to you by Greenville University, a liberal arts institution just 45 miles from St. Louis.
All right, Frank, Jerry Jones versus Stan Kroenke. Rooting interest.
I'm going
on Saturday night.
Yeah, I'm definitely going with Jerry. He has Ezekiel. It'd be a great story for the Cowboys to win, no doubt about it.
My old show host, Scott Linehan, like to see him advance in these playoffs.
He's got it.
Can the Cowboys win? I think they
can. Yeah, they can. I think because I don't know. I just think they can run the ball. I think the Rams' defense is really vulnerable, and they can run it.
I will say it's going to be nauseating because there's going to be a lot of shots pregame, Jerry and Stan walking around together. There'll probably be a number of cutaways to the new stadium being built next door. But if I had to pick, and I would think the majority of people in St. Louis, they may not like Jerry, but they could handle the Cowboys win. Cowboys still have a pretty really strong fan base. Even people in, Irwin Claggett was on Rich's show last night talking some SLU basketball.
Of course he is.
And he's one of the biggest Cowboy fans out there. This is just random.
Really?
People that just live and die with Cowboys.
But there are people like Matt Rocchio's age who probably root for the Rams. I don't know. Matt, you don't root for the Rams, do you?
No, not anymore, but I know some people, St. Louis people, who still do.
Ahmad Hicks from our station
does.
Yeah.
I don't get it, but okay.
Stan and Jerry. Saturday nights on Fox. I think Joe Buck will be doing the Sunday game, Eagles-Saints. They usually put those guys on the late Sunday game, so at least Joe can avoid that. Being in the middle of that whole Jerry Enos deal. All right, number two, Frank, you are a Chiefs fan. Is this your year?
No, I think I'm going to get beat this weekend by the Indianapolis Colts and the best offensive line in football and the hottest quarterback. Probably not named Patrick Mahomes, but I love the way they're playing right now. I think they got a great chance. That T.Y. Hilton, that chemistry with Locke, and then Ebron catches a touchdown every game. He really did. Did I say Locke?
Drew Locke. Weren't you rooting super hard for Houston if you were a Chiefs fan on Saturday?
Yeah, you don't want
them.
Just
give me the easier team. I don't want to deal with Indy.
You don't want Andrew Locke.
And we were saying on Friday, God, the Texans are always in the wild card game. They're always the early game. It's always the ESPN game.
Yep.
I did look it up. Their record isn't that bad. They've actually won a couple
of almost earned a bye.
They've won a couple of first-round games, which I feel like they always lose right away. But they have won a couple, to be fair.
But then they always go and get spanked in the next round.
Correct.
That's the thing.
Romeo Crennel just didn't have an answer. It's not his fault, but that offensive line was just too much.
God, Chiefs fans, it's historic. Every fan base feels tortured. But if you're a Chiefs fan, can you enjoy it? I mean, you got a great team. You're at home. You're the top seed. Frank, if there's ever a year, this is the year.
Yeah.
You're telling me they're going down in week one?
I would go their first game. I'd go the Colts.
All right, tonight in Philly, we'll call it the Quenneville Cup. Remember the reports? Joe Quenneville was going to the Flyers. And then Andy Strickland quickly pointed out, well, he's skiing in Colorado, drinking scotch, sitting by the fire. It's the holidays. Does he want to get on a plane and go to Philly? It turned out that wasn't happening. Do you see Coach Q coaching either one of these teams next year?
I can't picture him in Philly, even though there was that rumor. I think there's a better chance he's in St. Louis next year.
Yeah, I could see that. And I know there's talk about Seattle, but if you got a big new house in Chicago and your wife has friends here, isn't that part of the equation? I mean, you've already won a ton. You want to win.
Yeah.
But doesn't that have to be part of the equation? I mean, Seattle, you're across the country. I think Strick has sort of made it. And I will say this, going back, remember when we heard reports about John Davidson could come in and be that? Nobody drove that train more than Andy, like 10 years ago, and then it happened. With the Checkets group. I think he thinks the Quenneville thing is likely. All right, number four. Five for Frank, brought to you by Greenville University. Less than an hour from St. Louis, greenville.edu. I think it was Mark Grant, who's a Padres announcer.
Yes.
Who did the screenshot of Collinsworth and Michaels before the game. And they're all wearing the quarter zips. And he said, I love the no shirt, no tie, the no coat and tie look. He said, I've always thought it's a sporting event. Why does everybody need a suit and tie?
Who said that?
I believe Mark Grant.
Okay, yeah. They've been doing that a lot. Al and Chris have gone with the 3/4-inch zip quite a bit on seemingly cold days. I think that's a great idea.
It doesn't bother me at all. And then people were chiming in and saying it always looks weird to me when they're doing a baseball game and it's 100 degrees. And I think they have a rule locally at Foxman West. I think it's 90 and up, you go golf shirt. But on the whole, you're going to a sporting event.
Yeah.
Nobody there is wearing the suit and tie.
You remember Dave Soupy Campbell? You know, the
ESPN guy?
Who was outstanding.
Always wore a sweater.
You know, no.
Sweater
and
a tie?
When he did the games on radio, playoff games in the huts, he would wear shorts. Really? I thought it was really cool. Now, speaking
of
fashion. What
happened to him?
Well, I don't know. He was so good.
And he was, I think he was at the bar. Wasn't he the night of the Josh Hancock, the fatal? That's the last time
I heard
him.
Oh, you're right.
And not that that had anything to do with his career just kind of disappearing, but he was everywhere. Kind of like the Mets GM that, well, Dave Phillips.
Oh, yeah.
He was everywhere.
Yeah, we know why he left.
Well, Steve Phillips?
Dave
is the outstanding umpire from Lake St. Louis.
I'll be having lunch at the Gatesworth later today.
Yes.
Steve Phillips.
Speaking of fashion statements, I know Matt is kind of a stylish guy here. This week, because it's starting to come back in, and because I got it for Christmas, I'm going to break out on the air, because I don't want to wear a tie. So I'm going to break out a black turtleneck with a cool blazer. I'm telling you, it's a real turtleneck.
Like a Steve McQueen?
Yes.
Full turtleneck. That's
They're starting to
that's,
come back
that's
in.
Gutsy.
I think you see a Nate Burleson wear it once in a while on the NFL Today. But just imagine if we could get off of wearing the tie the whole time.
You do it on Fridays, right? On the weekends. A couple of years ago, Rich Gould and I both did it, and it was a Cardinal playoff game.
Oh, no.
And it was kind of noted by our boss, it's not today.
I could see that.
But it was I think it was, but it was a red shirt.
Respect the sanctity, sir.
Yeah, it was a red shirt underneath. But we've had consultants come in the past who said, why do you always wear a tie?
Yeah.
And I said, it's just sort of understood that that's what we do.
I was going to wear it today, but it just wasn't cold enough. But boy, on a cold day, put on a turtleneck, that's the way to go.
I'm picturing Shaft.
John Shaft.
In a large turtleneck. All right, fifth and final one for you. The Billiken free throw issue is something we just have to live with. 11 for 23 at the line yesterday. 11 for 23. And what was a close game? Are you over worrying about it? Are you Travis Ford? You are Travis Ford. Are you worried about it? Or have you given up?
No, I think Scott Highmark, who said in Brian's chair a couple of weeks ago, said you are who you are as a shooter when you're about 14 or 15. And as good a free throw shooter as Travis Ford is, was, he can't make Hassan French a good free throw shooter and many others.
And late in the game, sure, you want your best free throw shooters on the floor. I don't think you have five of those. You know what I'm saying? There aren't five guys you could put on the floor that you feel that good about. All right, Five for Frank, as always, brought to you by Greenville University. And to your question about Kelly Bryant tonight, is he rooting for Clemson?
Yes. What's your
I think the answer is he probably, what we've heard, he seems to be a good guy. I would be rooting against them. But I think he seems like a pretty normal, doesn't he seem like a level-headed kid?
Seems like a nice guy. But so you're thinking that he wants Lawrence to throw for 400 for Clemson to win the national title.
I think he'd be okay if they won. I don't think he's sitting down like rooting against them. I mean, he put a lot of time into that program. I don't think he's a better person, I believe, than I am, going out on a limb. I think he's probably okay with them winning. Now, some guys, Brian, myself, probably others, maybe Rocky, would be happy for them to lose.
I think the scenario where what you just said, that if they were to win like 14-13.
Yeah, maybe you're not rooting for the guy that replaced you to do great.
You don't want Lawrence to throw for 400.
No.
I discovered when I was trying to root for the Eagles that I don't do well with people who I feel have spurned me in the past. I was trying to root for the Eagles. It never worked. And every time Nick Foles did something good, I was like, you smug son of... Isn't I don't know why, but I'm not great at this stuff, so I think I'd be with Martin and Hoff on solidly on the rooting against Clemson.
Nick Foles is one of the greatest mysteries of our lifetime.
He really is.
It infuriates me on a daily basis.
The fact that he can win playoff games. And we had Randy Carricker on TV last night, and he said, you just look at the Jeff Fisher offense, how they can't do anything productive with anybody. But more than that, Nick Foles individually just was so bad.
He almost retired.
He should have retired.
And you know what's funny? You know who got him back to fall in love with football?
Matt Nagy
did in Kansas City. All comes full circle. Then he loses.
All right, let's take a short timeout. McBride Homes is one of our great sponsors. Missouri's largest home builder has a great deal for you during their New Year's sale event. Buy a new McBride home, and for a limited time, you get 2018 pricing. That's right. This is your last chance at 2018 pricing. And McBride has nearly 100 market homes ready for a quick move-in markdown with tremendous savings. With nearly 40 communities in St. Louis, there's a McBride home for every price point in every part of town, so there's no reason to wait. Celebrate a fresh start in the new year with a new McBride home. Visit McBrideHomes.com for details. We'll be right back.